You heard this evening the events of Maundy Thursday. This evening and over the next 2 days, I'd like you to focus for just a little while longer on some of the prophecies that predicted the events that we have heard and will be hearing about in the Passion history, the events of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. One by one, these prophecies point us to Jesus as the Christ and to the great works he accomplished for us and for our salvation. We already saw a great prophecy fulfilled this last Sunday as we heard that great prophecy from Zechariah chapter 9 about the king's arrival in Zion, in Jerusalem, righteous and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. On Maundy Thursday, we see at least four prophecies being fulfilled. The first is the prophecy of the betrayal of Christ. Jesus said, "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." That's a prophecy mainly from Psalm 41, a psalm of David, whose life was, in many ways, a foreshadowing of the life of Christ, the Son of David. Here's the verse from Psalm 41. "Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." And there's a similar prophecy of David in Psalm 55. "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng." It hurts to be attacked by an enemy, but it hurts far more to be betrayed by someone close, someone who was supposed to be on your side, someone you thought of as a friend who turns out to be your bitterest enemy. That's the kind of betrayal that Jesus the Christ suffered for us, betrayal by one of his 12 chosen apostles, who worshipped with Jesus and who literally shared bread with Jesus, not only over the last 3 years, but even on that very Maundy Thursday night. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane. Don't feel bad for Judas. He did what he did by his own will and choice. Instead, think of the pain it caused our Savior. He walked knowingly into a trap laid for him by a friend so that he might save us from the devil's trap, who was created in the beginning to be a friend of God and of the human race, and yet betrayed both God and man and made himself into our bitterest enemy. Only by suffering betrayal from the hand of Judas could the Christ save us from the great betrayal perpetrated by the devil. Then there's the prophecy of the new covenant or the new testament that Jesus instituted on that very Maundy Thursday night, the new testament in his blood. It mimics the language of the first testament or the first covenant that Moses instituted with the people of Israel on Mount Sinai, but it was Jeremiah who foretold the new covenant in chapter 31. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. And so we have in the sacrament of the altar a covenant or a testament, not of blessings in return for obedience, but of forgiveness for disobedience, that we might now walk according to God's commandments, not in order to win heaven for ourselves, but gladly, willingly, as those who rely on Christ Jesus, who won heaven for us by giving his body and shedding his blood on the cross, and who gives the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation to all who believe in him, whether Jew or Gentile, right here in this sacrament of his true body and his true blood. Third, there's the prophecy from Zechariah of the attack against the Christ and the scattering of the sheep that would happen as a result. All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And so we see Jesus, the good shepherd, doing exactly what he said a good shepherd does, standing between the wolf and the sheep, so that the wolf strikes the shepherd instead of the sheep. The sheep, the disciples, are allowed to scatter while the wolf is busy attacking the shepherd. Well, that was cowardly on the disciples' part. It was a stumbling, as Jesus called it. But the good shepherd didn't come to be rescued by his sheep. He came to rescue us from sin and death and the power of the devil, from our own shameful weakness and cowardice. So learn to overcome cowardice and to embrace courage in your walk as Christians, as you see Jesus standing up courageously in the face of his enemies and ours. And finally, shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be thus? Now, which scriptures have the Christ being led away violently and yet quietly? Well, I think of the verse from Isaiah 53, which we'll also hear tomorrow in the service. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In fact, it was that very verse from Isaiah's prophecy where the evangelist Philip began to explain to the Ethiopian eunuch how Jesus had come in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, how he was the promised Christ, how he had earned salvation for all by his atoning sacrifice on the cross. And which scriptures have God the Father giving the Christ this bitter cup to drink? Again, from Isaiah 53, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See how all these miraculous divine prophecies come together one by one to point to Jesus as the Christ who would suffer by God's own design, not for his sins, but for ours, to earn us a place by his side in his glorious kingdom. Let these prophecies and their fulfillment serve to prove God's love for our fallen race and his desire that all people, including you, should repent and believe in his Son. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.